If you're looking for a sports betting app, look no further than BetMGM. Download the app to your phone. Easy to use. If you're going to bet sports in Iowa, look no further than BetMGM. This particular individual is not in the cold, and he had the audacity to say, well, it was cloudy here today. I don't want to hear that, David Eicholt. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm good, man. Always, there's no vacation from your show, Steen. I'll never be able to do that to you. So I'm happy to be a part of the show, and let's rock it.
I love it. I kind of sent it, can you come on the show, please? And it took him 2 seconds to say yes, and that's why I love having him on here. All right, let's take a quick just look back at the game last night. I'll give you my thought, and then I'm going to turn it over to you. My thought is, if they play like they did in the second half, especially with letting Wisconsin get back into the game and then bury Wisconsin, they're going to go a long way.
Yeah, I think it was a step in the right direction for Iowa. I think especially, like you said, they got back into it. Then Joe Wieskamp with the back-to-back three-pointers. And I tweeted this, and you know, some people thought it was a hot take, but I think the statistics back it up. I mean, there might be no hotter shooter at any level in basketball than Joe Wieskamp right now. I mean, he's shooting 75% in the past three games. I believe he's shooting above 60% in the past nine games. And a lot of these were contested with a hand in his face. And we kind of expected Luka Garza, you know, to go back to being Luka Garza. Despite a 30-point win against Michigan State in the last game, he was only held at 8 points. But he came out assertive, scored 6 points in the first 4 minutes and 1 second. And I'll say this, I think the most encouraging thing about last night is Iowa's defense continues to show strides of improvement. They've more so kind of abandoned the zone, which is what we kind of talked about a couple weeks ago, that they were just playing too much zone defense. And I think Iowa's taking on the challenge of man-to-man defense. They've risen from 127th in defensive efficiency to 92nd, I believe, according to KenPom, over the past four games. Not elite, but that sort of trajectory should help propel Iowa to what they ultimately want to do, and which is, you know, go to a Final Four and potentially compete for a national title. So I was very encouraged about what I saw last night. I know some people were worried when Iowa lost 4 out of 5, but it's all about momentum. And if Iowa can string together a win against Penn State, maybe split between Michigan and Ohio State, and then beat Wisconsin again, you know, Iowa's probably going to go into the Big Ten tournament and NCAA tournament with, you know, probably one of the hottest teams in the country. And I certainly think that they are not lacking any sort of confidence right now.
Okay, and I have to say this too, and once again, we're talking to David Eicholt. He is at deicholt247. I said this before, and I'm reneging. I thought that for the Iowa Hawkeyes to get where they need to go, they need to have C.J. Frederick. Not that I don't believe that, because what C.J. Frederick does is he gives them a calming influence on the court. And that's what he does. He doesn't, I don't care if he scores. I don't care. He is a calming influence on the floor. I now think if they want to get to that pinnacle that we all think they can because of their ability to score the basketball, if Joe Wieskamp continues to play like this, it's not C.J. Frederick. It's not Luka Garza. It's not Fran McCaffrey. It's Joe. And he can take this team on his back and do things that he can do, things that Luka can't do, because Luka has to have somebody get him the ball. Joe doesn't need that. And I think that if he continues at this pace, you can see what their offense does. And my thing for your defense, and I want to get your take on this, is they have enough players with Jordy and Connor and Patrick and even playing both twins, actually. They have enough talent that they can play man-to-man and give these guys some rest, too.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing. And I understand why Fran and Iowa doesn't totally abandon the zone, because I do think when the zone works, it's great. But when it gets picked apart and they stay in it too long, that's what leads to disaster. Like you said, they have Patrick McCaffrey. They got Jack Nungy, who I think is really coming on strong. Didn't have a great game last night, but he's shown flashes in recent games, especially against Michigan State, the sort of upside in the future that he has. But they had the length, the full court press. They had the length to play zone and man defense, despite, you know, guys might being quicker. They're not going to blow by Keegan Murray, Patrick McCaffrey when they're 6'8", 6'9", with a 7-foot wingspan. So I think that's something to watch. But like you said, I think Joe Wieskamp, you know, beginning of the season was my ultimate X factor. And I think that there's nobody more confident in the country right now than probably Joe Wieskamp. And I think we've seen that with the difficulty of shots he's taking, with the shots that he's making right now. He's incredibly confident in what he's doing, and he is the ultimate X factor. But like you said, I think C.J. Frederick has proven exactly what he means to this team. I don't think it's a coincidence that Iowa did stretch out the lead last night against Wisconsin. They did, you know, record that 15-point win. C.J. Frederick played 31 minutes and hit his first three-pointer in almost a month. I believe the last one came against January 17th. But C.J. Frederick has not had a turnover since December 19th against Gonzaga. He's only had four turnovers all season. So like you said, a very calming force, a guy that can stretch the floor. And I think that he, just with him being on the floor, can open things up for Joe Wieskamp and especially Luka Garza inside. And I think that there's just so much more flow. There's so much more chemistry. And most importantly, there's much more connectivity on both ends of the floor when C.J. Frederick is out there. It's a perfectly constructed team to potentially go to a Final Four, but everything has to be clicking. They can't afford Joe Wieskamp to be off. They need Luka Garza to be Luka Garza. They need Jordan Bohannon to... I thought Jordan Bohannon's defense, probably some of the best of his career last night when he was matched up against Demetri Trice, who finished 3 of 15. And then they need C.J. Frederick to be as close to 100% as he can get, because I don't know if he's going to be 100% the rest of the season. But I'll tell you what, if he can give them what he gave them last night, that's really all they need from him.
Once again, we're talking to David Eicholt. He's at DEicholt247. And I love the fact that what they could do, and if I was Fran and I had that second unit in with the athleticism that he could play, and maybe even having, you know, at that point, you know, you kind of need to have Jordy in there to have a little bit of offense. But if you had Connor too, and just go out there for 3 or 4 minutes and just smack people in the face. Go out there and get in their grills. And I thought a couple of turning points last night, Connor McCaffrey getting beat around a little bit, pumped up the Hawkeyes. I mean, it doesn't need to be from scoring. It doesn't, you know, you don't have to go on big runs. If things aren't going right, let's get these guys in there and let's get up in people's grill and go get them.
No, and I think that's a fair point, too, because how many times have we seen over the course of our basketball watching career a team commit a very hard foul to not allow an easy layup, and then that team who committed the foul goes on a big run because they're sparked up by the physicality, they're sparked up by the energy. So like you said, I think this Iowa team, with as much experience as they have and them being around the block, that's something that can ultimately kind of boost them up. And again, that's one of those hidden things that I think Connor McCaffrey brings to the table. And I'll say this. I mean, remember, he went 4-6 from three-point land against Michigan State, and I tweeted a couple things. One, he stopped with that sort of side fade that he can get, you know, when he takes a jump shot or he takes a three-pointer. It's almost a natural side fade. But he also shot the ball with more arc. He's shown that he can kind of step back and hit those shots. And if Connor McCaffrey is hitting three-pointers, even one or two, with the offense that they already have in that starting five, you're not going to be holding Iowa back, because you can't, you know, abandon Connor. You can't double everybody. And, again, there's so many X factors with this team. But like you said, I think the physicality of it, Keegan Murray, I thought was a huge last night. Only finished 1 of 5 from the field, but he had 12 rebounds. And right when Brad Davison got hot to pull the game within 3, they switched Keegan Murray onto Davison, and then we didn't hear from Davison again the rest of the night. So, you know, for as quiet as Murray was scoring-wise, there's so many other intangible things that don't show up on the stat sheet that he did bring to the table. And, again, very perfectly constructed team, but everything needs to be clicking. But that bench is streaming with more and more confidence, I think, as every game goes on.
And once again, Keegan coming in and offensively not doing it, but smart enough, and it just shows the acumen that they have. Smart enough to understand that, okay, if I rebound and I play defense, I'm going to stay on the floor. And that may be the difference of Fran finally getting a better handle of what he has there to allow that to happen. Oh my gosh, he's 1 for 5. I need to get him out of there. No, you don't. Let him go 1 for 5. But if he's pulling down rebounds and he's stopping people and he's beating people up, and I'm telling you, when you know, Connor McCaffrey is that junkyard dog. People hate him. When you go to see that, the great thing about him, and he loves it. You go to you're getting ready to go to Ohio State and Michigan. The fans are going to be all over him, and he loves it. He plays better when people are yelling and screaming at him. So he's a valuable part of that team. And the other one that we need to talk about, and I just love talking about the kid, because Patrick McCaffrey's been through a lot. He's you know, and that was everybody's worry this year. Can he keep weight on and be as physical as he needs to be? And I think he's answered that question in saying that, yes, I can be physical. I can also be athletic. And he's between him and Keegan, that's some athleticism for the next, you know, another 3 years that's going to be pretty amazing.
Yeah, and I think you bring up again another excellent point. And I've said this about 2 weeks after the season canceled. I wrote an article about Patrick McCaffrey's versatility that he brings, and I really do think that people just look at the last name at times, and Patrick McCaffrey is kind of one of those cases. Patrick McCaffrey is an absolute hooper. He was rated a top 100 guy by 24/7 Sports. He can get to the basket. He's put on weight. He has a three-point shot. While the shot's a little bit low, he is a capable knockdown shooter. He has a good mid-range. He's crafty, and he's just a winner. He's probably the nicest kid off the floor, but he's got a little bit of a hothead streak like Connor and like his dad. He runs in the family. But
that's his mom. Come on, you know that.
Yeah, you're right. I can't forget about Margaret.
Yes.
That's 100% right about that.
Absolutely.
But like you said, I think you look at the future of this team, you look at Peyton Sanford coming in from Waukee, another 6'8 guy who can stretch the floor.
Yeah.
You have Keegan Murray, you got Patrick McCaffrey. Iowa's going to be loaded with athleticism, talent, and versatility. And while, you know, the team might not be a top 5, top 10 team next year, it's going to be one of the more fun Iowa teams to watch, I think, because they're going to be better defensively. While the offense might take a step back, there's just so much athleticism and versatility with the group. And I wanted to repeat this for people who don't really, I think, understand it. Iowa's offense right now is the second best and second most efficient offense in the Ken Pom era as far as just offensive efficiency and points per 100 possessions. Iowa's offense is something to watch. While they don't have the breaker and penetrator to be able to get to the hoop and kick out, they are efficient, and they got shooters, and I think you need to give credit to Frank McCaffrey for being able to build up a roster to be able to do what they've done on the offensive end.
And that's the difference of how to build that roster up. And he takes a lot of flack for some of the people that he brings in, but it should not be there, and it shouldn't be there at all, ever. And that's a big thing. And he's really good too. When things aren't going good, he'll like, okay, I'll blow up on a reporter, and then that'll be what everybody talks about for 4 or 5 days, and then I can get my team back and get them to understand. Okay, I've got, you know, just you guys do what you need to do, and I'll be the bad guy. And he's brilliant in doing things like that.
Yeah, and I'm not going to sit here and say Fran's been perfect in every single press conference, but the thing that shows me the most about who Fran McCaffrey is off the floor and off the press conference and off the microphone is I have not heard one player, to my knowledge, on or off the record, that has said one bad thing about Fran McCaffrey. The first thing they always bring up is, I always felt like he had my back. And that's why people want to play for him, and that's why so many of his players will defend him when stuff like that, you know, comes up in public. Again, I don't think he's been perfect by any means with the media, but I do think that there's been a lot of stuff taken out of context that, you know, maybe some people just don't understand the dynamic between Frank McCaffrey and the local guys that cover him every single day.
And I agree. And you know, it's going to happen, and he understands that. He's extremely intelligent when he's doing things, and he understands what he needs to do for his team. So
it's always professional, never personal.
Yes.
And that's why I think people need to be able to distinguish and kind of separate.
And I agree with that totally. The other thing that I got two more things I want to talk about. First off, Caitlin Clark did it again the other night. Iowa Hawkeyes did not play a good first half against Penn State at all. I'm hearing, and I'm going, yeah, how mad Lisa Bluter is, and Jan Jensen's trying to help, and she's so mad she can't help. I mean, they're having anybody try to talk to the team. And then she comes out and scores 17 points in the fourth quarter, has another 30-point game, another couple of shots from almost half court. People need to realize that as we're losing one of the greatest players in Iowa history in Luka Garza, you're gaining one of the greatest players in Iowa Hawkeye basketball in watching Caitlin Clark play.
I think slowly but surely people are realizing the greatness that's unfolding before them. Because like you said, remember Megan Gustafson just left as well a couple of years ago. They got Caitlin Clark. They got Spencer Lee, who might be arguably the best wrestler, you know, of all time, at least at Iowa, maybe more so than that. And then they got Luka Garza, who is going to take over as the all-time scoring leader on Sunday. So I think Iowa fans at least realize the greatness that's unfolding before them. And, you know, that's a happy sign for me as a media guy that they've been able to kind of recognize that before it's too late. Then they can only think back upon it. They can still appreciate what's kind of unfolding before their eyes.
And Luca Garza understanding the reverence that Iowa Hawkeye fans have for Roy Marble and a record that he's getting ready to break. He understands it, and he's starting to say, you know, all the great things about Roy Marble, who, I mean, that's somebody that I grew up watching, and it was such a fun player to watch play. The other thing that I wanted to get with you today, I talked about it yesterday and with the baseball team, and Ben Norman came out on Twitter yesterday and talked about his positive tests and the fact that him and three other baseball players went and were tested independently and they came back negative, and the issues that they have with, and when you're reading it, it's hard to say if they have an issue with the way Iowa's handling it or the way the Big Ten is handling it, because they said, we have other friends that aren't having to face the same thing. And these four individuals have already had tested positive for COVID and been through the 90-day mark. I don't know how well you know Ben Norman. I follow him. He's the captain of that baseball team.
Yep.
And for him to come out and post what he did, I couldn't have been more proud to be able to talk about it on the radio yesterday, but I can't be more proud of him and to come out and let people understand that, you know, this COVID stuff's not easy. We're you know, we don't see our parents, we don't see our friends. We go from the from our residence to the baseball field back to our place,
yeah,
and everything that's going on. And then you have other hurdles that people are making you make. I thought what he did was, I thought it was really good. And we're running out of time because I talked too long. But he's a great kid, and I hope that he gets it fixed.
Thoroughly impressed with how respectable it was.
Yep.
Just the way he presented it was very impressive.
Buddy, enjoy yourself, and thank you for coming on. I love talking Hawkeyes with you.
Steam on Sports. 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome back to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. You can check us out on Twitter at SteenSports, at 1700 The Champ. Facebook is at 1700 The Champ. Website is 1700thechamp.com, where you now can go in and download our podcast. The first podcast is up from yesterday. We'll try to get today's up and then work our way backwards. If you're looking for a sports betting app, look no further than BetMGM. Download the app to your phone. Easy to use. Matching dollars on first bets and great parlay deals. If you're going to bet sports in Iowa, look no further than BetMGM. If we want to talk a little Chicago, a little Iowa, and just sports in general, look no further than Brendan Styles. He is at the B Styles. And it is time to take a little step back and see what the Chicago Bears now are going to do. They didn't go after Carson Wentz, even though Carson Wentz didn't cost very much either. And maybe for a reason.
Figured.
Yep. And, you know, they're still in the Deshaun Watson talks. But if those two things, and I think you and I have talked about this, that we both believe that Mitchell Trubisky is not coming back.
Right.
Where do they go next? Does anybody on the team feel that Nick Foles can get them through a whole season?
Oh, through a whole season? No, absolutely not. But this is the way I would describe it. Is, yeah, it, trying to get a guy like a Deshaun Watson it can be viewed as shooting for the moon, and I get it. But I feel like if you're any team right now, not just the Bears, but any team that's thinking about needing a quarterback, the three phone calls that you should be making right now are to Houston regarding Deshaun Watson, to Vegas regarding Derek Carr, and to Dallas regarding Dak Prescott. Like, and if you have a chance of acquiring any one of those three, then that's where you should be putting your resources. If obviously none of those don't work out and all three of those teams say, yep, we're not trading them, we're going to keep them, then you start to either look elsewhere, whether it be the draft and seeing if you can move up for one of those guys, because right now at 20, they're not going to get any of the top prospects at quarterback, but you can possibly work on a trade up, or then you move on to that next tier where maybe it's a Marcus Mariota. Maybe it's a Teddy Bridgewater if Deshaun Watson ends up going to Carolina. Maybe it's Jimmy Garoppolo if he ends up going to San Francisco. Or, and here's the name that I've heard thrown around lately, is Sam Darnold, which I'm not
necessarily in favor of it, but at least it makes sense compared to Carson Wentz because he's on the last year of his rookie deal. And if you were to make a move for him, then it basically becomes, if he plays well, then Pace and Nagy keep their jobs, and you could argue you found your guy. If he ends up playing terrible, then those guys are going to get fired anyway, and a new regime's going to just look at him and be like, well, you know what, you're a free agent. We don't need to pick up the option on you. Go ahead and good luck with your future endeavors.
Exactly. And I think two things could happen. I think that Sam Darnold could come in and play better than what Mitch Trubisky did. I also believe that Mitch Trubisky can move on somewhere with a coach with a better understanding, and I think Mitchell Trubisky can play better. So I think it's a win-win for, not for the organization, but it's a win-win for both of these quarterbacks.
Oh, honestly, if I'm Mitchell Trubisky, you want to know where I'm thinking about going is New England.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm going there because they don't have to. They wouldn't have to really like change their playbook much from what they were doing with Cam Newton. And there's your chance, you know, Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels would have a chance to basically take on a reclamation project.
He's better than any quarterback they had last year because the Hogan and whoever else came in those games, they were just, they have no shot at playing in the NFL. Some of the other big news is, you know, the Pittsburgh Steelers not soured, but took a totally different stance, I think, on Ben Roethlisberger than what Ben Roethlisberger thought they were going to take.
Well, that tells me one of two things. Either they're going to make a move for a quarterback in the draft, or they have completely fallen in love with Dwayne Haskins, which I find hard to believe considering how unceremoniously he got dropped from Washington. It's clear that if Ben doesn't retire now, let's just say he's on the 18th hole.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't think he's going to go beyond this upcoming season.
And he doesn't play anywhere else either.
Right. So I don't blame the Steelers for wanting to look and explore other avenues before he announces his retirement.
Yeah. And one of the things today, they said odds on favorite for getting Deshaun Watson on betting odds was the Broncos, which I don't understand at all. Because I don't think they have what other teams have to offer. But once again, the Denver Broncos not being able to, during the draft, draft a quarterback.
The Broncos do have a top 10 pick. So yeah. If John Elway is, or I guess he's not really in charge of it anymore, if they're willing to move on from that, then I suppose it could, you know, be an option. But I find it hard to believe that that's where he's going to end up. My gut feeling is just based on the spots that would make the most sense to me. One would be, and I know it's been discussed this week, is Carolina, but I would only do that trade if I'm the Panthers and I'm willing to keep Christian McCaffrey. There's no way I'm giving him up to Houston for Watson. I would be doing that trade with the intent of having the two together. Or he goes to San Francisco and he suddenly puts them over the top and it's the 49ers calling what the Rams did with acquiring Matthew Stafford.
Right. And which right now, and that was another quarterback. I talked about that yesterday with Jeremy a little bit when he came in, that, you know, the San Francisco 49ers are kind of souring on Jimmy Garoppolo because of health reasons and he can't give them games. And Pittsburgh soured on Ben Roethlisberger. And you're like, wow, these are players that have been in the playoffs and teams are souring because it's too much money.
That's why I'm saying if I'm the Bears, kind of going back full circle here, I'm not doing anything right this second. I'm waiting to see what other moves get. Like, obviously, yes, if you can be the team that makes the move for Deshaun Watson, then go for it. But let's just assume they're not. Let's say it is San Francisco that gets him. Now Jimmy Garoppolo is available. He's going to be a much better option than a lot of the other guys that you could be possibly considering at that point.
And I agree with that. Once again, we're talking to Brendan Stiles. He's at the B Stiles on Twitter. Before we jump into talking Chicago in the NBA, let's talk a little Cubs. Opening day, Chris Bryant, their starting third baseman.
I think he will be.
Okay.
I mean, to me, there's no point in doing any trades right now. At this point, and I look at it like this. I saw that Vegas set their over-under at 78. I think they could maybe go over that. I'm not going to pick them to win the division like they did last year, mainly because they've dismantled the pitching rotation. Getting Jake Arrieta back is nice, and he's probably their number two, but beyond him and Kyle Hendricks, I'm not really sold on what else they all have with pitching. I do think that this is probably going to be Chris Bryant's last season with the Cubs. I would be shocked if he were to resign with them in free agency. But yeah, it's one of those situations where they're not as bad as they're like going to be portrayed as, but they're obviously not as good as some people might make them out to be either.
You know, and my only regret is why. If you were, and I understand they got him back at cheaper than what they had, but boy, that he would have looked really nice in the rotation for the last 2 years.
Well, that, but it also leads to this. If you can find the money to bring back a guy like a Jake Arrieta, why couldn't you have kept John Lester around for one more year?
Exactly, which hurt dearly, too, especially for Chicago Cubs fans. I mean, he was, between him and Chris Bryant and a little bit with Baez, I mean, that's the face, mm-hmm. and that hurt, and it hurt a lot of people.
It is, but the one thing I would say is the guy who's been the face of the team really – throughout, in my opinion, is Anthony Rizzo.
Yep, and you're right.
And I think if you're the Cubs right now, one of the most important things that you can do is do everything possible to ensure that you're going to at least keep him around.
Yes, and because that's a nail in the coffin there. If it's a money thing with him, with everything that he's done, I agree with you totally. Let's jump over. The Chicago Bulls, they are sitting mm-hmm. just outside the playoffs. But the thing that's most important, they are actually fun to watch during an NBA game.
Right. They actually have a nationally televised game for the first time this season tonight.
and deservedly so. They're fun to watch. They had two guys hit 8 3-pointers. Nobody's ever done it before. I mean, they're fun to watch.
Right, and a lot of it is the culture change, and this is something that I know we've talked about before, but it's amazing what happens when you get rid of a front office that nobody likes and you get rid of a coach that nobody likes, and you instantly are able to upgrade all of those areas. Suddenly, the players that are still around, they find it more enjoyable being there at practice, being there for games, and I know they're not playing in front of fans right now, but at least, like you said, they're giving an effort. I think what Billy Donovan did the other night really speaks volumes. The fact that they are down by 25, he's willing to bench starters to start the second half, and they came back. And look, I know the Pistons are bad, but still, the fact that they were able to overcome a 25-point deficit to win that game, it definitely says a lot about the direction they're going. And from that standpoint, I'm definitely encouraged.
Especially during the COVID era. And you're mm-hmm. down that many points, that's a throwaway game in the NBA. And they didn't throw it away. And I think that's a change, that's a momentum change that people weren't expecting. All right, let's talk a little. Go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, you.
Oh, no, I was just going to quickly say that there have been a few examples of games this year, like you just mentioned, where under a previous regime, they would have just been throwaway games, but they haven't been here under Billy Donovan. I think it speaks volumes to him as a coach.
And if you look at, I mean, the teams that are, the Charlotte's ahead of them, right now they're a half game ahead of the Hawks, and the Heat are mm-hmm. 1.5 behind. But you have the Knicks up there, which is just as big a surprise as the Chicago Bulls where they're at with their youth. The Charlotte Hornets, you never know. Then I think the team that's moving there is the Toronto Raptors because they, matter what people say, Nick Nurse is one of the top three or four coaches in the NBA.
He is. And it's funny that like we're kind of talking about the whole bottom of the East right now, but I feel like when it's all said and done, I know this is really jumping far ahead here, but when I look at the Eastern Conference, I know Philly right now has the best record, but to me, come playoff time, I'm going to go with a guy like Kevin Durant, who's won multiple championships and now has James Harden and Kyrie Irving,
right? Nobody
as teammates. I don't see anybody. I don't see anybody beating Brooklyn come playoff team, at least in the East.
Right, because nobody can score with them. I mean, and the games are going to be fun. They're going to be like 160 to 150, but mm-hmm. it'll be exciting. the five teams that are ahead of the Iowa Hawkeyes, I think, in the NCAA are Gonzaga, Baylor, Michigan, Ohio State, Illinois. I think Iowa is easily competes with Illinois, Ohio State, and Michigan on neutral floors.
Right. It's I'm not disputing what you said, but like what makes it unfortunate is, let's say Michigan and Ohio State both end up getting one seeds like they're being projected to right now. What that's going to ultimately mean, because of the way the bracket's set up or it's designed with their principles, it means that Illinois and Iowa are going to be one of them is going to be stuck in Baylor's region. The other is going to be stuck in Gonzaga's region, because the top four teams of the Big Ten, if they're all four seeds or higher, they all have to be separate in different regions.
Yep. That's a tough thing. And that's when people go back and look at a couple of early Big Ten losses that they shouldn't have had.
Right. But I will say this, though. I never thought I would see the day where they would win by 30 at the Breslin Center and then follow that up by winning by 15 last night in Madison.
And the greatest thing about that win last night was I'm sitting at an establishment watching, and they go from like 17 up to 6. And you could just see the people going, boy, this is going to be horrible. And then all of a sudden, boom, right back up.
I'm glad you brought that up, because for all that Luka Garza did last night, and obviously he deserves all the praise in the world for dropping 30-8, and he's going to be on the cusp here on Sunday of breaking Roy Marble's all-time scoring record. But I think the guy who's really emerging, I think this is the reason why you're seeing Iowa start to win games again, is Joe Wieskamp.
Oh, absolutely.
And like, because you saw Wisconsin got it down to three there in the second half, and then he was the one that started taking over, just hitting three after three and just putting the game completely out of reach. And he was doing similar things against Michigan State last weekend as well. And I just feel like you're starting to see him kind of come of age and become that closer, that killer that Iowa needs, is going to need to rely on in addition to Luka by the time you get to March.
Yep, I totally agree, and had said that earlier today, that I think, you know, having C.J. Frederick on the floor is so important. But yeah, no, Joe playing how Joe's playing right now, that bodes well for the Iowa Hawkeyes. So hopefully, you know, not a lot of sports this weekend, but hopefully you have a good sports weekend. And B, as always, it's great to talk to you, and I'll talk to you next week.
1700, the champ, Central Iowa's home for sports talk radio. Steen on Sports, real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back to the last segment, and happy Friday. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. Check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports or at 1700thechamp. Go to the website, 1700thechamp.com, and you can download yesterday's podcast. And we're going to try to get today's up as soon as we can, and then try to go backwards from there, from the first show that we came back on. And if you're looking for a sports betting app, look no further than BetMGM. It's download the app to your phone, easy to use. If you're going to bet sports in Iowa, look no further than BetMGM. I have a smile on my face because I get to talk to this person for the first time in a while. First off, congratulations. And Matthew, how are you doing? And Gary has to actually push the phone. He was so excited to say hi to Matthew, and I forgot to push the phone. My goodness, I ruined that. So he is Matthew Bain, and he is at Matthew Bain _. Matthew, how are you?
I'm good, man. As I said, just into the muted phone, just for, I think, you to hear, I miss you.
I missed you, too. I missed you so much, and I got so excited, I forgot to push the button. So that just shows that I'm still learning in the process. You know, you go away. It's not like riding a bike, folks. It's harder than riding a bike. Tell me a little bit. So you were, when we first started the show, you were on your honeymoon.
Yes, honeymoon. Yeah, we did our own little COVID version of honeymoon. So we road tripped down to Florida instead of, you know, flying somewhere. We took a road trip down to Florida, stopped in Nashville on the way, Atlanta on the way back, and then spent about a week in Key Largo. Loved it. The resort did a great job making us feel safe, making us feel pampered. And I missed the sunlight. I missed the sunlight a lot. I missed the feeling of warmth on my skin. I had forgotten what it felt like.
I agree.
And I want to go back.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm glad you got some time away. One of the first things I wanted to talk to you about, because you and I have talked about this for a long time, the special person that Caitlin Clark is. And we watched her in high school a lot, you and I. And now she's performing even better in college at the University of Iowa than she did here at Dowling in the state of Iowa.
Yeah, I mean, I think the expectations were already pretty high for her going into her freshman year, and I think it's safe and fair to say that she's even outperforming those expectations. She is no doubt going to be a freshman All-American. She's got a very good chance to be all-first team Big Ten. She's just a rare breed for women's college basketball. She's 6'1", legit 6'6", can score from all three levels and can handle the ball like she's 5'5".
Yeah,
she's just a rare breed.
It's fun to watch, and when you combine that with what the Iowa Hawkeye men are doing, you know, it just, you know, watching basketball and it's the Iowa Hawkeyes on either side, it's just fun to watch, and they're both fun teams. When we talk a little bit, so it's wrestling right now, and it was nice to see cars in the parking lot at Wells Fargo. I know they're, you know, everybody's been talking. I've talked to a few people that have gone. I mean, they're doing the best that they can of social distancing and masking and doing all that. It's not easy. I mean, you got people from all over the state coming, and then you're going to have girls basketball and boys basketball right on top of that. What's your take on just the simple fact that the wrestling tournament got to happen?
I think it's good for the kids. I think that once the state decided to, you know, let wrestling season go, I think it would have been unfair of them to cut it off midway through the year. So basically, if they decided to have a season at all, it should be played to its completion. So I'm happy for the kids and the student athletes that are getting an opportunity to finish their season, you know, in the way that they might not have dreamed of. There's not a lot of people at Wells Fargo Reno, you know, and rightfully so, but hopefully they'll be able to have, you know, their family there, maybe a couple friends, and just be able to have that experience wrestling on the floor at the Well, which is really a cool experience.
Once again, we're talking to Matthew Bain. He's at Matthew Bain _. You know, going through this COVID and seeing all the things that were happening, and with football and you know, just all the sports, the simple fact that we're getting ready to have the girls' championship and then the boys' championship in basketball is a great thing. I've got to call a couple of handful of games this year, and it's one of those times I didn't know what to expect, but the talent level in the boys and girls basketball, especially at the 4A level and the 3A level, which I've kind of seen a little bit of both, there's a lot of talent in this state.
Yeah, no, Dargan handles a lot of our girls' basketball coverage. I focused a lot more on the boys and on the boys' side. It's as talented as it's been in a long, long time. We know how strong the senior class is, you know, led by guys like Tucker DeVries, Marion Ellis out in Davenport, Peyton Sanford, Michael Duax at Dubuque Hempstead. But this junior class, there's going to be at least 8 to 10 Division I players in this junior class, and they're, you know, making a lot of noise, not necessarily in 4A, but down in 3A. You've got
absolutely
Cole Glasgow at Dowell Center Grimes having a phenomenal year. Down in 2A, you've got Tanner Tesla, the 6'4 point guard who's going to go basically anywhere he wants in the mid-major level, leading undefeated Boyden Hull. It's just a very, very fun time to watch basketball. And when you look at Class 4A, there's a whole bunch of talent, but they're pretty much all on two teams. You got Waukee and Cedar Falls with 8 Division I guys combined between the two of them. So it'll be interesting to see how that 4A field shapes up around Waukee and Cedar Falls.
And it's interesting to see who they're going to play to get there. And I've watched a couple of games with Hoover and North and East and Southeast Polk and Ankeny and Ankeny Centennial. And at any point in time, and Dowling, even Dowling too, that at any point in time, they can give these guys games. The issue I think they all have, and you have to throw Valley in there too, is with Waukee, you have to do it for 4 quarters. There's been teams that have stayed with them for a quarter, 2 quarters, 3 quarters. but not all four of them right now. And Cedar Falls has the same thing. It's just so much talent, and they can beat you so many different ways. And it doesn't matter if they're shooting well because they can defend, and it doesn't matter. The offensive rebounding that some of these teams are doing is unheard of, and they're doing it against good teams.
Yeah, I mean, it's the thing with most of the IML teams is if your star player has an off game, you're not going to have a lot of luck that night. If one of Waukee's star players has an off game, oh well, they've got three more Division I guys on the roster to pick up the slack. But you said four quarters. Not only four quarters, it's really got to be all 32 minutes.
Yes.
And you just can't let up at all against this team in any way, shape, or form. They've got length on the perimeter and 2 6'7" dudes. They've got another 6'7" dude down low who's going to go anywhere he wants for college in Omaha Bilyeu, five-star, top-five national sophomore. It's just there's a reason that Waukee is dominating the way they are. This is an unusual combination of talent for Iowa high school basketball, and it would be a shock, an absolute shock to me if Waukee doesn't make it to the state title game.
And I agree, and I have to be one of those that I've seen Omaha play twice, and I'm very impressed with the way he's playing, and expectations are always expectations, but expectations when he's on the floor with the other starters on that Waukee team, I think it gives him a little leeway room on what he can do. His defensive play, his rebounding, and you know, just being able to make all the shots but not rushing anything and just playing, I think he's made some huge strides in growth.
Yeah, he doesn't need to be the primary scorer.
No.
He doesn't need to be the secondary scorer. Sometimes he doesn't even need to be the third scorer. He can just focus on taking the right shots, which he mostly does. He's way advanced in terms of his you know, mind for a sophomore, and just dominate down low, which he's doing. He's a rebound machine. He's a blocks machine. He's good for one or two highlight reel dunks every single week. It's just a perfect situation for him.
It is. And the girls, I mean, I've seen a bunch of their games too. And there's not a girl that I'm just going to say, I mean, she's just going to take over. It's team play in the girls that's been so much fun to watch this year and call.
Yeah, is it Waukee? Aren't they on some crazy winning streak?
Yes.
The girls team,
yeah, and they're fun to watch. I mean, that's up and down the floor the whole entire time. I mean, it's just amazing, and it's going to be interesting. I think that's up for grabs. I think there could be four or five different teams, especially in 4A, that you know they just need to get hot and they're going to be fine. So, once again, and this is your slot on Fridays, and I love having you on. It just goes too fast. Once again, congratulations. I'm so happy for you guys, and thank you for coming back on the show.
Thank you, man. Yeah, looking forward to Friday night at 5:40.
All right, man. Thank you. Have a good weekend, Matthew.